Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Over here, still basking in the glow of the NFL draft in Green Bay. It's always good to talk to our friend and teammate Jason Wilde about all things Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm good, everybody. How are you?
We're good, and I hear you are a self-checkout guy because Chewy, our guy, has never used the self-checkout before, but yesterday he was complaining about being at a standard checkout line where the gentleman checking out and the gentleman checking out had a conversation and he couldn't get around it. So would you join our campaign to get Chewy to use the self-checkout line for the first time ever?
Yes. And let's make sure we send Maddie Hayes to get social media content.
Oh, Maddie, you're going to have to hop a plane, get down there to Tampa so you can follow Chew through the grocery store for the very first time. Jason, yesterday the Packers made another addition to their team. What can you tell us about the newest Green Bay Packer?
Yeah, he's going to be their Zach Bond. What do you think? Look, Tausch has said this many times. Chewy, you obviously know this, being a late-round draft pick to seventh round in his case, or sixth round in your case. Picks constantly have to prove they belong in the league. First-round picks constantly have to prove that they don't before they're finally done. And when you're the eighth overall pick, like Isaiah Simmons was, you get opportunities that a seventh-round pick wouldn't get. And the siren song of potential and athleticism and being a high pick is always going to do that. And so, you know, I don't think he's had a bad career. He started 42 games. He was in Arizona for 3 years. He was with the Giants the last two. Blocked a field goal against Seattle last year to win a game. But, you know, he hasn't played like an eighth overall pick, a guy who won the Butkus Award and as the best linebacker at Clemson his final year in college. So, you know, this is a low-risk, high-reward signing. And, you know, Tausch was giving me a hard time for having on my duty to-do list to sign a Zach Bond-type player. But that is really an important part of being successful in roster building, is getting guys that are reclamation projects or guys that are on prove-it deals and having them come through. Like Zach Bond. Zach Bond signed a one-year, $3.5 million deal last year with the Eagles. He's supposed to be a special teams guy and a situational edge rusher. And Vic Fangio looked at him and said, no, we're going to play him inside. And the dude was a first-team All-Pro. So I'm not saying that Isaiah Simmons is going to be a first-team All-Pro, but these are those kinds of and too, you've heard me say this before, like this is the one area where Ted, he never did this sort of stuff. It was always just, hey, who's the next young guy we can call up from the practice squad? And one of the things that I praise Goody for is whether it's Keyshawn Nixon, who was on a minimum deal, or Devondre Campbell before he was quitting on the 49ers. Those are the types of signings that potentially can pay off big. I don't know if Simmons is going to or not, but that's the kind of signing you make at this time of the year.
Jason, is it fair to say, with the fact that Goody drafted a receiver in the first round and third round, and he never verbalized it, but is it fair to say the fact that he did that, he's not happy with the receiver room?
Yeah, I just don't think so. And the reason why is because I don't think he in any way went into the draft thinking, I'm going to take two wide receivers in the first 2 days. I mean, he even said it when he got up there, and I know actions speak louder than words, but he said, you know, I didn't think I'd be up here talking about drafting two wide receivers. This Savion Williams kid is fascinating because and you know, LaFleur immediately tried to tamp down the comp to Deebo Samuel. But the appeal of Williams is that he can do all those things. You can line him up in the backfield and hand him the ball. You can line him up as a wildcat quarterback. You can bring him on jet sweeps and end arounds, and you can play him as a traditional receiver. They don't have a piece like that. And they have had pieces like that before, but not quite like this guy. I think he's more, he's a really big dude too. I think he's more, if you're a little bit older, like Cordarrelle Patterson. He's got some return ability. Like that, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson's not going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But when you had him on your team, you know, whether you were Minnesota or he was in Atlanta for a while, a couple of other places, like he's just such a versatile piece that if you have a really smart offense, you can use him in a myriad of ways and create some matchup problems. So that's what appealed to them. The reason why I say that I don't know if they necessarily intended on that is that Goody said they actually considered Williams at 54, where they took Anthony Belton, the behemoth offensive lineman. And so when you consider a guy with your second-round pick, and then he's still sitting there when you're on the clock again as your third-round pick, then you pick him because he's so much higher graded than the other people you might take in the third round.
Of the eight picks, who are you most intrigued by?
Well, great question, because there's several of them that I am. Obviously, Williams, what I was just saying. By the way, I don't know if they take Williams if the corner from East Carolina, Revell, is still on the board. He went at 76. They picked Williams at 87. But Revell's a guy they had in for a visit. He fits a need at corner, because I know there's fans that still think there's a chance that they're going to keep Jair. I don't see that happening, but I'm with you. I hope he stays. But look, there's a couple of guys that I'm really interested in. One, they had a really good run defense last year, right? And then TJ Slayton leaves in free agency. So Barron, the defensive tackle from Georgia, is a big dude. He's a different type of player than Devontae Wyatt, also from Georgia. But he's an intriguing type of, you know, kind of run-stuffing guy with a little bit of quickness. Sixth-round pick, usually those guys stink, as we know, but sometimes you hit on them. And so I'm intrigued by him. Obviously, I love the Barron Sorrell story. Everybody does. But I think the sneaky guy that I'm curious about, speaking of corners, is Micah Robinson. Now, he started at Furman, then he went to Tulane. That's not exactly, you know, Alabama or Boston College, but he's smaller than they usually prefer their corners. But clearly, where they're at roster wise, they really think highly of Carrington Valentine, who came to the Tundra Trio and did a Q&A with Strofe the other day. I think that they really are going to give Kalen King an opportunity to be part of their rotation. And now they've drafted Micah Robinson. Those are three straight years where they've taken seventh-round corners, and I'm intrigued by whether or not Robinson can be, you know, kind of Carrington Valentine-esque and be able to be a player that contributes.
Jason, all things considered, how would you grade the draft experience in Green Bay?
For me?
Yeah.
It was an F. I didn't do anything, I can't decide if I regret that or if I'm fine with that. Like, from a reporter's standpoint and from a general manager's standpoint, Goody and I are on the same page. I thought it was going to be a total pain in the ass, and it wasn't. It was super convenient. Like, I didn't run into any traffic problems. I didn't have any drunk people giving me a hard time.
Nobody tried to steal your car after you left it running for 11 hours.
11 hours, exactly. That'll be the highlight for me. But I did not take the time, you know, and especially on Saturday, which was when I was going to do it. But then, you know, the Barron Sorrell story happened, and I didn't walk around the campus once you were inside the fence, and so I never really saw everything that was going on. I give it an A because I'm proud of my state, and I'm proud of my town, and I'm proud of my people as a Wisconsinite. And the fact that this was a national event, but it was really a local event, because, yes, there were certainly people that came in from other NFL cities to be at the draft, but it was overwhelmingly Wisconsinites and Packers fans. And I have a buddy that drives for Uber, and he worked the airport, you know, trying to make some extra money. And he drove around Pac-Man Jones for a couple of days, which I thought was a cool story. But beyond that, he said, you know, and he was talking to his other buddies who do it, there weren't that the number of out-of-town people flying in and out of tiny little Austin Straubel Airport and filling up our city. And when they first announced this, I was like, oh, my God, what are we going to do with 200,000 out-of-towners coming in here to this city? You know, they're going to be staying in hotels as far south as Racine, Kenosha, and then having to commute up here. And that just wasn't the case. It was Wisconsin folks who love the Packers, love beer, love a good time, love outdoor drinking, and that's what they did. They walked around the stadium and watched the picks come off the board, enjoyed some adult beverages, and enjoyed being outside at least two of the 3 days. Friday was not ideal.
Jason, I know you've got a good relationship with Mike McCarthy. Have you talked to him since his experience on the Pat McAfee show? Is doing more media something that he could do in his future?
I thought you were going to say, is he okay after doing the Pat McAfee show?
I mean, if you saw that clip, turning down.
Yeah, saw the clip. Saw the clip.
I did not.
Vitamins, I was told.
Oh, vitamins. Oh, I'm sure. That's what Pat was puffing out of the, whatever.
Vape
that he had, yes. He offered Mike some. Mike turned it down. But have you had a chance to talk with Mike? Because I got to imagine he was pretty good.
So I no longer have a good relationship with Mike because he went on there instead of coming out with Tausch and me.
You guys weren't doing draft night coverage?
No, we weren't. But I actually had reached out to him a month ago, before the draft, because if he's going to, in all seriousness, it's a great question, because if he's going to do media, you know, we've got Barry Alvarez on the Great Dane Huddle in Madison all the time. I would like, you know, we've got Brian Bulaga who comes on once a week with us. We've got Crazy Uncle Homer. I would love for us to have a regular thing with Mike McCarthy. And so I reached out to him a month ago and I said, hey, are you going to come in for the draft? We'd love to see you. We'd love to have you on. He's like, no, Izzy's got a bunch of volleyball tournaments. I'm going to be going to that. And then he announces that, you know, or then the news breaks that he's going to be on McAfee. And I texted him right away. I'm like, what the hell's going on out here in my best Vince Lombardi voice? He's like, you know, yeah, I'm just coming in for the day. And so I'm like, all right, well, if you're going to do any more media, we'd love to have you. And so then I texted him after he was on. And, you know, I used to irritate him with this. Kind of like, I'm not comparing myself to Frank Caliendo here, but I guess I am. Like, John Madden used to dislike the imitation that Frank would do of him until he finally met Frank and liked him. And McCarthy used to hate the fact that I would make fun of the way he said positive.
Yeah, that little positive. Pittsburgh drawl.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and you also do the high side of caution.
I do. I've got a lot of McCarthyisms. There's no doubt about it. But so I texted him after his one night on there, and I said, hey, I didn't get to watch, but I've heard a ton of reviews, and I heard that they were very, very positive. And he texted me back and said, you're still funny, you. And then there was a word that I can't use on the radio. And so he does have a bunch of club volleyball tournaments to go to, but he says he's going to be back in town when the girls are out of school. And so I'm, because he's still got his house here. So a long answer to a otherwise short question. But I did not get to see him. I am hopeful that if he's going to, he is obviously staying out this season. I don't know if he plans on coaching again, but I think he would be great. And you guys tell me if you saw him on McAfee, was he really good? Because that's, I've heard nothing but good things about how he was.
Yeah. I mean, again, same thing, Jason. I just didn't, we had so many other things going on at the trio. I didn't get a chance to actually see,
right,
other than the clip of him turning down the The puff.
Vitamins.
The puff of vitamins.
The vitamins. Jason, last thing for you before we let you go. Matt Schneidman of The Athletic put out a post on Twitter. Players I didn't spot in the Packers team, Photog Evans. Is it Siegel? Is that how you pronounce Evans' last name?
Yep. Evan Siegel, yep.
154 picture gallery from the first day of voluntary workouts. Jair Alexander, Christian Watson, Elton Jenkins, Matt Orsek. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, long snapper. Yep,
and then Romeo Doubs. Any issue there? Any concern? It's voluntary. I want to be very clear. These are voluntary workouts. But the Romeo Doubs thing did raise my eyebrows a little bit. Tell me that I shouldn't read into that at all.
You shouldn't read into that at all, but I'm lying. By the way, and there was a correction. Christian Watson was there because there was another photo of him there. And so kudos to Christian, who's coming back from his ACL, for being there. I don't want to cast any aspersions on Romeo Doubs, but here's the problem, right? When you do something like he did before the Rams game, of not showing up for work for 2 days, people are going to question you not being there. He may have a very legitimate reason for not being at the voluntary workouts. To me, the question was, and I texted LaFleur and he didn't get back to me. I just want to know, is Jair there or not? Right? Because, again, there's a segment of the fan base that thinks that we're trying to run him out of town, and that's just not the case. Everything that we have talked to, all of us, Matt, Rob, Tom Silverstein, me, indicates that they're moving on, and it's just a matter of trying to get something for him, and that's probably a fool's errand. But if he wasn't there when he's under contract and he has an off-season workout bonus, I don't know, maybe what they could be doing is saying, hey, we're going to pay you the bonus anyway, but you know, we're obviously working through this and you're not going to be here. I don't know. But all this, he's on the kiss of death of a player is he's on our roster right now. And Goody finally said that before and after the draft. So that was interesting to me. Again, I don't know about Romeo Doubs, but I've said this to you, Gabe. I've said it elsewhere. I just don't know how, after what happened, you would ever trust him to the point of signing him to a long-term extension. I just think that maybe that's just me. But he can make himself a ton of money this year if he plays his tail off, doesn't create any issues, avoids concussions. But I think he would be making that money with some other team.
Jason, good stuff as always. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. So, yes, no, worry, Romeo.
Worry.
I don't know if it's noteworthy. I don't know if it's worry, but I think it's noteworthy.
How much can I worry about a guy I don't think is all that good?
There you go.
So, you think he's out? You're over him.
A fifth option.
You're over him.
Yes.
I think he's going to ask for a trade. Like, it's possible. Why didn't you show up when you went through? Obviously, you didn't learn anything. I mean, you got to know that if you blow it off, people are going to talk.
Correct.
I'd be worried.
All right, we'll talk about it.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. It's the brand new ESPN Wisconsin app, a customizable homepage, easier and quicker live listening. Your shows at the touch of a fingertip. The ESPN Wisconsin app is available in Apple and Android app stores. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. Download the ESPN Wisconsin app today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
it's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.